I was reading that Glass had been inspired hearing you play Bach, and I guess this might have happened fairly quickly. I think you might have been really inspired because that was, according to the notes, like in November 2016, and here this was premiered in 2017. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yes, I mean, I think that the commission process started before then, but he heard me play, well, I think he heard me play Bach earlier on recording, but then what he heard me play live was Schubert, actually. And I think it was the Schubert that really made him think of my playing in a certain kind of way, which I feel crept into the way that he wrote this concerto.
The recording is absolutely lovely, and you mentioned that it's circles not only related to music, but physically recording that you were in the middle. Is it nice to be in that sound with a far cry?
Definitely. It was wonderful because we had the piano configured so that the lid was off, and I was facing them, and they were sort of in a half circle around me. And it allowed us to all be able to see each other, and everybody could hear each other very well. They play standing up, and also they did in this recording and performances, we did it with the violins standing antiphonally so that they're facing each other, the two violin sections. And I like that configuration. I like to hear the music like that. So it was just a really wonderfully communicative experience playing with them.
I know you've got a dozen orchestras with this third concerto coming up in the next year that's been going on since the premiere. How has it changed? What kind of conversations have you had with the conductors and musicians playing the new Glass concerto?
It's really fascinating to play. I've been playing both concertos because they are paired together, but I've been playing them with all these different orchestras. I just recently came back from playing it with the New Century Chamber Orchestra out in San Francisco, and they're another conductorless orchestra, and it was very interesting to play it with them. They stood in a different configuration, so I had the violas standing to my right, and it made me hear the music in a completely different way, having the viola right there. And, you know, sometimes when I'm playing with the conductor has a different kind of approach than I would have done if I was leading it without a conductor. So it's wonderful because it's allowing me to see the piece in many different angles, and I really appreciate that. It's not good to keep things static. Like, I like the change that takes place from one orchestra to another.
Thank you. so awesome that music breathes like that and changes, whether it's the hall, the musicians, or just the way you feel that day.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I used to see all of those changes as being a real downside. Like, you know, as a pianist, you're always having to get used to a new instrument everywhere you go. And that can be really a drag, you know, because you have to adjust your playing, then you have to work with a piano technician on trying to adjust the piano, and that's a whole other communication issue. But I realized that also, while that can be a challenge, it also can be a real plus, because I'm always playing on a different instrument, I never know what's going to happen, really. And sometimes, like, really unusual and unexpected sounds take place because of it being a different instrument. And it wouldn't have happened if I was always playing on, you know, the instrument of my dreams. You know, it's sometimes playing on a difficult instrument can teach you something new about yourself and about the piece.
Seems, you know, after I read it, I go, oh yeah, but you talk a little bit about that Bach and Glass repeat phrases, and there's, you know, to me a pulse that goes through, whether it's a partita, a concerto, and to me I was like, oh yeah, that was a real aha moment, and to seems like these pair incredibly well that I wouldn't have normally thought, and I don't know that our listeners always go to their, you know, iPod or whatnot and say, oh yeah, play Bach and Glass, but I think it's a lovely pairing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think that they pair really interestingly well together, and I think that Glass is very influenced by Bach. People don't always think about those things that they have in common. I mean, I think that the whole notion of patterns, motivic patterns that repeat, is something that is prevalent with Bach. I mean, all of his music is full of these sequences that are, you know, going through different harmonic changes, but, you know, keeping the same pattern, but slightly altered, you know. So Bach will have like a little kind of melody, say, that then moves down one whole step and then down another, but the third time one of the notes moves in a different direction. And Glass does the same kind of thing. It's this kind of idea of a repeat, a pattern repeating, but one element of it being altered in some kind of a way that really changes the whole mood.
Congratulations. This is an amazing pairing, and we know that there are more performances of this coming up, and we hope listeners will get out to that, and hope there's a lot more to come.
Thank you so much. Nice talking with you, John.